On this second last Sunday of my sharing messages with you, we're going to do a what we've been up to for the past 16 years message of reflection. And then next week, we'll talk more about being Baptist-y Baptists. So today we're going to cover quite a bit of ground, but this is in an effort to kind of help us be on the same page together and recognize what we've been up to for the last many years. We've been living out a three-movement mission statement of listening to God's heart, being moved by the story of God, and then seeking the peace and well-being of the city, based on the scripture and that verse that Barb just read for us. And the goal has been to develop and to raise up strong, generous Christians. So, listening to God's heart. And that's why I had Greg read for us two versions of that one verse wonder from John 13, where the beloved disciple is laying his head on Jesus' bosom, on Jesus' heart, in the midst of the bigger context of what's happening in that story. That story is Jesus with his disciples, and it is a crazy time. He's just talked about passing the bread to the one who would betray him and send him to his death. But there's John, the beloved disciple, with his head on the heart of Jesus. It's a good image for us, that image of intimacy, that image of relationship, that image of companionship with our Lord in the midst of whatever calamities or set of life circumstances we're facing. So listening to God's heart, our ears, our heads on the heart, the chest, the bosom of Jesus. And then secondly, we're moved by the story of God. For decades, this has been a church that has not taught the Bible as a rule book, but as God's love story for the world. We've done that, of course, over the past 16 years as well, inviting you hearers and you readers to dwell in the world of the story or the text each week, and then to live out of that story. We ask questions like, what does it look like or feel like, or smell like to be in the midst of this particular story, whether it's the Gospels or whether it's an Old Testament story. Over the past several weeks, we've been in the Gospel of Mark and asking that question, what does Jesus look like when he looks at you? And I hope one of the highlights of the past few weeks has been from Mark chapter 10, verse 21, where Jesus looked at this seeker and he loved him. And so I invited us to make sure that when we imagine or when we look to the face of Jesus, he's looking at us with love. As we've gathered along the shoreline with Jesus, listening to his stories along the Sea of Galilee, how do we live out of those stories? Again, in the Gospel of Mark, there's been so many invitations to live out the love of God, the compassion of Christ, and to do that not only in community, but outside of our community. Mark emphasizes a love for the least, the last, and the lost. And then that ties into the third movement of seeking the peace and well-being of the city. What does it look like for us to live these outward journey lives of serving the city? What does it look like for us to embody faith, to put the life of Jesus on display? And we've said it looks like us being at peace and shalom with one another, but then carrying that peace and that shalom to the city, to the places that we go, the 150 of us, each day, each minute, each hallway, each room, each place, where we can be shalom, where we can bring peace, We can be peace bearers because the peace of Christ, the love of God, is being formed in us so that then we pour it out for the world. Jeremiah says to the people of God, don't try to run away, even though you feel like you're in exile or on the margins. That's exactly where God wants you to be. Hunker down and live and serve in that place. Build houses, plant gardens, eat what those gardens produce. Multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the shalom of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its shalom, in its welfare, you will find your shalom. And so we pray that that's what has been growing in us over the past 16 years together, that as we've sought after the peace and well-being of the city, that God has been raising us up individually and corporately as a people of peace, a people of shalom. Then I want to talk about what I'm going to call artifacts of the past 16 years. These are statements that have shown up on our website and statements that we have worked really hard as church leadership, as church ministry staff, as a congregation to shape words and messages of our story in the world. We tried to really get better at telling the great story of First Baptist Church for such a time as this. And it was about 10 years ago in 2014 when I was reading a Philip Yancey book called Vanishing Grace. And I started saying this one phrase or this one ethos statement that Philip Yancey had found from a church in Denver. And it went like this: married, divorced, and single here, it's one family that mingles here. Conservative and liberal here, we've all got to give a little here. Big and small here, there's room for us all here. Doubt and believe here, we all can receive here. LGBTQ and straight here, there's no hate here. Non-binary woman and man here, everyone can hear. Whatever your race here, for all of us, grace here. In imitation of the ridiculous love Almighty God has for us, let us live and love without limits. And so we use that as a springboard into conversations about telling our identity story. And in 2019, we confirmed these phrases about our church identity, that we would celebrate the God-given worth of every person. We seek to worship and act in solidarity with people displaced, silenced, and harmed by injustice. We have much to learn as we undertake the difficult work of healing relationships damaged by our complicity with and indifference to forms of oppression. These include, but are not limited to, racism, sexism, classism, colonialism, and homophobia. And we put that on our website and said that we're committed to keep on learning from the lived experiences of others, praying for wisdom and humility as we move forward. Those words, some of you shed blood, sweat, and tears over forming those words for us as leaders and writers. And then in the fall of 2022, we talked about how do some of these things play out? And we talked about LGBTQ2S+ inclusion. And so then we put another message on our website. We said, when you walk through the doors of First Edmonton, you'll see Progress Pride flags. And this symbol reflects our ongoing work of celebrating the God-given worth of every person and acting in solidarity with minority communities. And again, committing to learn from the lived experiences of others. We're working to be a fully inclusive church. We've still got work to do. And as we strive to be a place of worship, companionship, and sanctuary for the members of the LGBTQ plus community and those who may find themselves threatened or distressed in the downtown area. And then finally, I want to talk about the open letter that we wrote to CBWC in mid-May of this year. And that was a hard journey too, because we were recognizing that our denomination, we were dually affiliated with the CABF and the CBWC, and we recognized that the path was really narrowing with the CBWC. And so we made that move to say we're going to be solely affiliated with the CABF, but we will keep the door open if the CBWC widens the path again. And we said, without rancor or ill will, but in the desire to follow the Baptist traditions of traditional congregational government, local church autonomy, and more importantly, to follow the path to which we believe God has called us, First Baptist Church Edmonton must now begin a new chapter and path in its journey. May God's love and welcoming embrace be felt ever more deeply, ever more warmly, ever more fully by every single one of God's children. May First Baptist Church Edmonton be God's vehicle and servant in making this happen. So that's 16 years of 131 years. Some of you sitting here today have been here for decades. And you know that this congregation is full of interesting, weird, wonderful, unique Christians. I'm also fascinated by how many pastors' kids and missionary kids and vocational mission or ministry kids end up in our pews, or retired pastors, or retired missionaries, or retired vocational workers. They end up at First Baptist Church, and they make this place wild and amazing. And again, interesting. And so I want to take a moment. If you're one of those kids or one of those former pastors, leaders, or vocational ministers, raise your hand, because I think we have an unusual percentage of you therapy-infused people in our midst. Look around. Because these people are unique and have interesting stories to share, but also a wealth of Christian vocational ministry and experience to share with us. That's why it's so great to be Baptist, the priesthood of all believers, how we can learn from each other, whether we've been on the journey for 10 days or 10 decades. This is a lovely, unique, interesting, weird, and wonderful batch of people. And then I'll offer three more words, because these have been emerging around the council table lately as we've been reflecting. If we had three words to share to put on a sandwich board outside of our church parking lot, what would those three words be for such a time as this? And we've actually got some quotes for a sandwich board, so we might actually get this in the next few months. But the words are inquiring, thoughtful, and rooted. Inquiring, thoughtful, and rooted. And some of you may have other words that you want to throw in the mix with us as leadership and church council, but right now we're thinking those words really capture a lot of what we're doing and what we're aspiring to do in the weeks and months and years ahead. Inquiring, a place where we can wrestle with things, whether it be faith or social issues. Thoughtful, this approach to faith that offers theological reflection, critical thinking, and not a posture of certainty, but a posture of openness to how God is working in us, amongst us, in this time. And then rooted, we are still rooted in this robust Christianity, this long story and tradition of Christianity and worship, the Christian calendar, the ecumenical posture of knowing that we're not alone, but we join hundreds and thousands and even millions of Christians on this journey of faith at this time and this place. So that's what we've been up to over the past 16 years. I know there's 1,000 more stories we could add to the mix. And I'm so grateful for you as a congregation and you as ministry staff present and past who serve with us, who are online watching today or who are here in the sanctuary. And this congregation that has stayed together, that has worked hard, that has had to kind of live with tension sometimes and give each other grace and space so that we could keep on moving forward and pulling in the same direction. It's a good work. It's a rare work. It's a noble work we're doing in the name of Jesus. We're going to close with this breathe courage prayer that's on the back of our closing hymn. So I'm going to read that prayer and invite you to simply be still and enjoy that prayer. There's a pause for reflection in that prayer as well. There's a pause for lament. We've been talking about this as church leadership too. In the midst of us moving on from our denomination that we had been with for 107 years, there's a lament that we need to name and embrace, but then there's a joy and a hope that we also look forward to. And I hope we've captured that in this prayer. Close your eyes. Take a breath. Let the soles of your feet rest heavily on the earth. Reach out your hands. Let the strength of your spirit cross rivers and prairies, mountains and fields of green pastures. Let it tear down borders. May the good and life-giving connections we have built through the CBWC continue in our memories, in our hearts. We pause to think of those faces, those gatherings, those living legends, and those who have even passed on. We think of their faces and their voices, their mentoring, encouraging words. We lament the loss of this connection. And yet we look forward with hope, anticipation, and joy as we press forward into our future, our associations and our relationships with the CABF, with the Alliance of Baptists, with our emerging global Baptist network. We as a local church are not alone in our seeking peace and well-being of the city, in our wide, wide welcome, in our desire to provide sanctuary, safety for the LGBTQ2S+ community, in our efforts to act in solidarity with all peoples displaced, silenced, and harmed by injustice. Spirit of the living God, continue to fall upon us. Strengthen our compassion. Sustain our capacity for creativity. Sing us into a cadence for justice. Nudge us into the place of still waters. And breathe into us the courage to dream and live
into a better world.